time for the FTN NBA podcast. Breaking down all the news, stats, trades, and more from the exciting basketball world. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Zach Graham.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome in to the FTN trade deadline stream here on a Thursday afternoon. My name is Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawisenberg DFS, joined by my buddy in podcasting. It's Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, the fit is back to matching, and let me tell you, you look immaculate, my friend. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good because TweetDeck's back. So
yeah.
Perfect timing, too. We'll talk about it, obviously. But when I tell you I was like 5 seconds from going to sleep before the Durant trade broke last night, I was literally as ready to go to bed as possible without actually being asleep. And I was like, let me just check one more time. I opened Twitter on my phone as the Shams tweet went to the top of the timeline, and I was up for the next hour. So,
yeah, man. I mean, there was another tweet before that one that got my heart pumping a little bit, you know, and we'll talk about all those trades that happened yesterday, earlier this week, and last night. But we've got trades coming in hot and heavy right now. So what do you say we take a look at the trades that have broke in the last like 30 minutes? It feels like there's like 18 of them. And then we can kind of use the rest of the 90 minutes here to go through, you know, of course, the KD trade, the Kyrie trade, and everything in between. Looks like a little bit of a cost-cutting move here for the Hawks, according to Woj. Just in the last 2 minutes, the Hawks making multiple deals. This one trading Justin Holiday and Frank Kaminsky to the Rockets in exchange for Garrison Matthews and Bruno Fernando. Out of everything we've got today, that is a big ho-hum from me.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't think we need to spend much time on that one.
At this point, it's surprising to see a trade that doesn't involve 4 to 5 second round picks. Also, yeah. I've noticed there's been a trend, and maybe it's because today's day and age, a lot of players play for multiple teams, but there's been like so many players that are now traded to teams they've played on before. So we don't even need to do Photoshop jersey swaps. You got Dinwiddie, you got Jakob Poeltl. George Hill went back to Indiana today. I think there's a couple more, too. So
Spencer Dinwiddie, TJ Warren.
Yeah, Warren was the other one.
It is the reunion deadline or something of the sorts. About 5 minutes ago, we got multiple updates on a Wiseman-Sadiq Bey trade that turned out to be more than just the Warriors and the Pistons. Somehow, by way of Golden State, Sadiq Bey is going to Atlanta. The Pistons are getting James Wiseman, and the Warriors are getting 5 second-round picks from the Hawks. So after dumping 3 firsts and I think a swap to the Spurs for DeJounte this past summer, now all the second-round picks are gone. Landry Fields and Kyle Korver, certainly not going the way that I had been kind of prognosticating they might, you know, selling
Phoenix
off
sure
John
did, though.
Collins or... Yeah. Yeah, they did. But I guess let's start from the Pistons side, you know, especially just in case Kyle Murray is listening. I don't know his thoughts on getting James Wiseman, but how do you feel about the Pistons adding another young center, raw talent, obviously, to say the least, about James Wiseman? Like, especially, they just got Jalen Duren. They have Marvin Bagley. They have Isaiah Stewart, who they think is a power forward. I'm not so sure. What do you think about this move for the Pistons, first of all?
I don't see it, but at the end of the day, it's also a team that's just trying to collect as much young talent as possible. So, I mean, this is the top pick of the draft. So, like, there's still – and we talked about with Wiseman on the pod, like, he probably just needs a fresh start because that Golden State system can be really difficult, especially if you're already behind the eight ball with injuries and stuff to start your career anyway. But yeah, like it is weird because I think there is an outside shot, maybe not even that outside anymore, that Jalen Duren's just better than James Wiseman.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a hot take at all. So the fit is definitely weird. I think Kyle put in Discord, like, just put B. Stewart at the three and then put Wiseman at the four and Jalen Duren at the five. And just,
yeah,
they could have used that against Cleveland yesterday when Jared Allen destroyed him. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I guess put Bagley at the two. There's got to be another center on that roster we can start at point guard for him. Sadiq Bey,
just start Bojan at the
right, at the one. Right, there you go. He can start at the one. Steph Curry out at least through the All-Star break. We knew that. Thank you. They said minimum 4 weeks, underdog. I don't know why you're clogging up our timeline with that tweet right now. I don't know, man. I would be more excited about Sadiq Bey in Golden State than Atlanta. What do you think that does for Atlanta? Like, it
yeah.
Doesn't make much sense to me.
So I wrote the article over at FTN a couple weeks ago about my all-underrated team. Kevin Huerter made that list, and I talked about how the Hawks really miss him in terms, because you look at their stats this season, they are third worst in the league in points per game off catch-and-shoot opportunities at 24 per game. Mm-hmm. They are bottom tier in terms of field goal percentage. Like, we know Trey hasn't been really willing to play off the ball as much as we would have thought with DeJounte there. And, like, you know, Bogdan's a very solid shooter, but he's also somebody that plays more on the ball too when he comes off the bench with the second unit. So, you know, AJ Griffin's been good for them as a rookie, but they needed another wing to kind of fill in for what Kevin Huerter is not there for. So I think it's interesting. But yeah, I think we both agreed, like, when we saw the first initial framework of the deal, especially because there were some reports that, like, John Collins to the Pistons could have been a thing.
Yeah.
Might have assumed it might have been John Collins, who, like, there was also a report like an hour ago that the Hawks were still trying to find him a new home. So I think it's fine for Atlanta. Like, I do think Sadiq Bey is, I think he's like 40% off catch and shoot three so far this season, last time I looked. So he gives them something they haven't had and something that they definitely missed from the absence of Kevin Huerter. But again, with a lot of these teams, with an hour left, who knows if they're done. So.
Yeah, I mean, just the way things have been going, I'm glad we said for a month that it would be a quiet trade deadline. Trying to, you know, will this type of deadline into existence seems like we were successful. Tom Haberstroh tweeting out that, again, a team like Golden State certainly in the luxury tax, and moving Wiseman could save them a total of $131 million in terms of luxury tax savings. I believe over this year and next year. There was the rumor out there that San Antonio was maybe involved in talks to get Wiseman. I was a pretty big fan of that, considering look what it took to get him. Not much.
Well, apparently,
yeah.
So we know that the Grizzlies and Pelicans have been potentially battling for OG, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I just saw Shams say that Golden State is in it too.
Golden State is in on what now?
OG.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Was that?
I don't think Shams tweeted. I think it was on a show that he was on and just got tweeted by somebody else.
The deadline show there at Stadium. Another trade that came in about 20 minutes ago. Another move by the Suns. Acquiring Darius Bazley from the Thunder.
Some would say their most significant move of the past 24 hours.
Certainly of the last 12. Dario Saric and a second round pick to the Thunder. So I guess we can go ahead now, as we've got a little bit of a respite from the trades coming. No, we don't. Rockets are finalizing a deal to send Eric Gordon to the LA Clippers. I'm telling you, I've been telling you for weeks, Josh Richardson to the Cavs. Let's make it happen. But the Clippers making a big move here. And he's coming home, Adam. Eric Gordon to the Clippers.
Yeah, I love it. They added Bones and Eric Gordon to their backcourt in the last 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon, I love it. Like, absolutely love this trade. Wanted Cleveland to get him. Bones gives them way more of a creator offensively than they were getting from John Wall and Reggie Jackson at this point. Still think he probably comes off the bench though, because I think they kind of found something with Terrence Mann at the starting point guard position, but it does give them more in the backcourt depth because, John Wall just obviously hasn't been able to stay on the floor. And then, yeah, Eric Gordon, like, can still defend at a pretty high level at his age, can still shoot the ball well, can handle the ball a little bit too. And again, you already know that defensively, Paul George and Kawhi and Zubac are going to hold their own. But now you have, not with Bones, but with Eric Gordon, another capable defender on the... And this feels like also that Luke Kennard is getting traded within the next 10 minutes, right?
You would think so, but only 2 second round... No, I wouldn't say only. I think it's fair. 2 second round picks going back to the Rockets as part of the...
It's a multi-team deal, what was just reported, so...
Yeah, Hawks are involved here, so two... Oh, no. Sorry, this is following up from the Holiday Kaminsky Matthews Fernando trade. The Hawks will send the Rockets 2 second round picks. So now 7 seconds sent out by the Hawks in the last 30 minutes. There's no way. There's no way they have any more, right? I mean, when it comes to Bones Highland there on the Clippers, like, obviously I'm a fan of Busy Bones there, but isn't he just kind of like younger Reggie Jackson?
Yeah, like, Bones is obviously really talented offensively, but maybe part of it was, like, for the fallout with Denver, like, he would just take some really questionable, like, contested long twos. It's, like, mm-hmm. the worst shot you can possibly take. He loves to take.
Yeah. Luke Kennard to the Grizzlies.
That's an awesome trade for Memphis, by the way.
Yep.
Like... There's just so much to talk about. So Memphis...
It's nonstop this time.
Memphis is actually... Yeah, Memphis is actually one of the worst half-court offenses in basketball. And they actually are, like, really bad at shooting the three. Like, it kind of gets overlooked because they have such a deep team and everything. But outside of Desmond Bane, they can't really shoot the ball. So this move is great for them. Kennard, like we mentioned, won't have to do it because...
John Wall to the Rockets. This is a three-team deal between the Grizzlies, the Clippers, and the Rockets.
John Wall to the Rockets is the funniest thing of all time.
This is amazing.
He will have, what, 2 tenures there and not play a single game for them?
How many players have gone back to teams that they've played for before now? It's double digits at this point. Like, we didn't mention earlier, Dwayne Dedman, back to the Spurs, you know, 2 days ago or whatever it was. Anthony says, didn't you say...
D'Angelo Russell, we forgot about that one.
Yeah, true. Didn't you say it was going to be a quiet day, says Anthony. Yeah, we did that on purpose. We've been saying that for a month.
Yeah, that was 1,000% intentional to have the madness. I was a little worried we wouldn't get a lot of trades while we were on stream, but that, I can't even finish a sentence without a trade happening.
I was going to say, that's almost too much. Oh, man. Well, I'm excited to see the rest of the details about this three-team deal between Memphis, the Clippers, and Houston.
Josh Gross just tweeted the GIF, the meme of, oh, shit, here we go again. That's John Wall right now.
Good to see Chris in here saying bonkers, yo. I agree. I can't wait for Tenacious David Jones take on a John Wall deal. You know, John Wall, one of his favorite players. For sure. I guess let's move on to some of the deals that happened earlier today, continuing down the timeline here. We talked a little bit about Bones Highland. Some of these other deals that are you know, more cap-saving moves for some of these teams or opening space for other players. The Pacers got another player going back home, George Hill to the Pacers. From the Bucks sent along a second round pick for their trouble, $4 million, I believe expiring on George Hill, just goes into the Pacers cap space. I mean, a big nothing for me. George Hill wasn't in the rotation, likely not going to play a big role, even in a playoff series at this stage of his career. So, they also sent out Jordan Wara to the Pacers. And Serge Ibaka was also on the move, right? But I don't remember if he went to the Pacers or not. It's like you got to bounce between Woj and Shams timelines here to piece these all together.
I'm just waiting for, like, I obviously want to talk about the Kevin Durant trade and the D'Lo trade because I was really interested in that trade.
Right.
But I feel like as soon as we dive into it, OG is getting traded or somebody's getting traded and it's just going to...
There you go. 5 minutes ago, Legion Hoops just reporting via Shams that the Warriors are interested in OG. So I guess we'll see. The Grizzlies are sending Danny Green to Houston in the deal. Just let him drive down I-10, send him back to San Antonio, let him sit on their bench, hang with Pop for the rest of the year. He's not helping either of those teams. Clippers are sending Luke Kennard to the Grizzlies, who are sending 3 second-round picks to the Clippers. This has to be a record deadline day in terms of number of second-round picks thrown around, right? Like, just even in the last hour and a half, feels like there's been at least 15 of them. Speaking of second-round picks, right, we talked about George Hill, Jordan Wara going to Indiana. 2 second-rounders also, but that was not part of the George Hill deal. That was part of the Jay Crowder deal, who, of course, was dealt from Phoenix to Brooklyn last night. Brooklyn then turned around, flipped him to Milwaukee. And so Jay Crowder ending up in Milwaukee was kind of in the rumor mill this past week. Just a little bit more complicated way for Jay Crowder to get to Milwaukee at the end of the day. And the Nets got back... how many? 5 second-round picks from Milwaukee?
Yeah, it was 5.
So the Bucks sent out 7 second-rounders for Jay Crowder, essentially, and Jordan Wara, is, I think, how I'm reading that deal, how it shook out. And then the Pacers, when they took on Wara and George Hill, are waving. Unfortunately, I'm a fan of him, especially in Daily Fantasy, Goga Batadze now on waivers. Anthony says it would hate to be us breaking down the tonight's DFS slate at this rate.
Mo Bamba to the Clippers?
Ooh, I like that, actually. Yeah, Golden State emerging as a suitor for Toronto's.
Wait.
Anunoby. Patrick Beverly? No. Lakers are trading Beverly for Mo Bamba.
Yeah, it was a typo from...
yeah, from Shams. I like that, too. Although, Orlando, what are they doing with Patrick Beverly? Are they going to waive him? There's no minutes for him there.
The buyout market is going to be insane.
Yeah. this is fun, Adam.
Why the... Orlando has 7 guards.
What, Rockets will acquire John Wall in the 3-team deal. The Clippers and the Grizzlies, they plan to waive John Wall. So John Wall will be a free agent soon enough.
Mo Bamba is not Miles Turner that Lakers fans have been hoping for, but he can right. give them a little bit in terms of stretching the 3.
I'd rather have Mo out there than Wendy and Gabriel. And of course, 100%. And of course, the Lakers also, one of the moves that we can talk about here just for a second, because I don't think it's super important. But I do like it for the Nuggets. They traded Devon Reed and I think 1 or 2 seconds for Thomas Bryant. Obviously, Thomas Bryant, an upgrade over DeAndre Jordan, and in my opinion, Zeke Nnaji, as well as a backup to Nikola Jokic there. Any thoughts on that deal? Like, Devon Reed is not nothing. He can knock down some open threes.
Yeah, I liked it for Denver. Would have liked it more if it was for a defending wing, especially after Kevin Durant joined the Western Conference again. But who knows? There's still time. And not only is it Shams reporting now that Golden State is like in it for OG, apparently he said that they're the favorite.
Wow.
Which
what picks do
would
they
be very insane.
Let's check out what they've got going on picks-wise. Warriors. The 9th-seeded Warriors. We talked about on the pod earlier this week with Steph out. You know, maybe in danger of missing that play-in, depending on how long he's out. But acquiring OG would certainly
I don't know if you're not Golden
in that deal.
Right. And if you're Golden State or Memphis, maybe not Memphis now, but still possible. They have a lot. New Orleans, Denver. I don't know how you aren't trying to get OG Anunoby or even Mikal Bridges after Kevin Durant joined the Western Conference.
It's interesting with Bridges, right? And I guess we can go ahead and start talking about the Kevin Durant deal here 20 minutes in. and starting on the Brooklyn side, I actually like...
You were on this, though. Like, maybe not as much Durant, but you were on Phoenix being really aggressive with this new ownership. And yeah, what was it? He was introduced yesterday?
Yeah, took him 12 hours.
And he's like, you know what? Let's go get Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And they did.
man, I mean, I think it's a win-win for both sides here. Obviously, the Nets very quickly decided to blow that up. But, like, it's fantastic work by Sean Marks, in my opinion, because not only do you get Mikal Bridges, who was my pick for Defensive Player of the Year last year, and certainly picked up a lot of votes, although he ultimately didn't win the award, to get four unprotected picks and Mikal Bridges, and then Cam Johnson in there for good measure. And you also got to say 5 second round picks because they flipped that Jay Crowder asset for 5 seconds. So you get 9 picks total, 4 of them unprotected firsts from Phoenix and Mikal Bridges. Cam Johnson is just okay for me. Like, I think I'm not the first person to mention today Cam Johnson's age. Certainly not
27.
Not a young guy by NBA standards, kind of like in his prime age wise. I guess stereotypical prime age there. But, like, of course, getting Kevin Durant is well worth it for the Suns. They're my favorite in the West now, assuming all four of those guys are healthy, CP, Booker, KD, and Ayton. But, like, if they, like, no matter what happens with Phoenix, Brooklyn is coming out, I think, just about as good as they could have hoped in this trade, because how much longer is Chris Paul going to be in the league? How much longer is Kevin Durant going to be in the league? Like, especially those 27 and 29 unprotecteds.
Yeah.
I guess the main point I wanted to make here is, and I talked about it a couple years ago about the Warriors too, like, these type of teams just don't stay together longer than like 3 years on average. And you can look all around the league over the last decade, and really absent the Warriors dynasty here and those three guys, Klay and Dre and Steph, that have been together for so long, it just does not happen. Like, even when you added Kevin Durant there, that was, what, 3 years before it went sour?
Josh Richardson is no longer on the Spurs.
Where? Why am I missing this? Here we go. Pelicans. Interesting. Certainly not who the Pelicans were.
So I guess
were.
The Cavs just aren't making a trade today. It's fine.
Well, so no Kennard for you, no Richardson, no Eric Gordon. You hyped up Isaac Okoro too much, man.
I did.
He hyped himself up too much.
Yeah, we'll circle back to this, but the Durant trade, obviously, I love Denver. I don't know how you cannot put Phoenix as a favorite right now in the West. Yep. It's just, they have, and I tweeted about it.
They added Kevin Durant. It's insane.
Right, but it's just like, I don't know how you stop Booker and Durant, because they are maybe, outside of like DeRozan and Kawhi, the two best mid-range players in basketball. Like, especially, I'll pull up jump shots. I looked at the stats yesterday. So Durant is leading the NBA in points per game off pull-ups, 12.2 per game. He's shooting 55%. We mentioned he was shooting like 60% from the mid-range before he got hurt. Booker's third in the NBA in points per game off pull-ups at like 11 per game. He's shooting 44%. So, like, they're going to get to their spots and score no matter what. Then you have Chris Paul on the pick and roll with Ayton. Ayton's really good in the mid-range too. Chris Paul has made a living off jump shots on the elbow in the mid-range. So they're going to be like the most unstoppable mid-range team I've ever seen. And then defensively, we know Durant was playing at an all-NBA defensive level before the injury. Ayton's a solid rim protector. Obviously, you're missing the defensive Bridges, and the overall depth is a concern. But, like, when you have that four as a core, and Torrey Craig's a good defender if he's starting for them, or it's TJ Warren, who I would imagine it's Torrey Craig for defensive purposes, get TJ Warren off the bench to score. Doesn't matter. Like, depth doesn't matter when you have that type of starting four, at least. But yeah, for Brooklyn, I liked it too, because they're in a situation where they can be at least, they're obviously, like, they're not winning anything this season, but you look across that roster right now, they have a ton of really good NBA players. Ben Simmons, Spencer Dinwiddie, Bridges, Dorian Finney-Smith, Claxton, Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson, Royce O'Neal, Seth Curry, Joe, like, they have a ton, and they have more moves they can make within the next half hour. They have all these picks now. So I agree. Like, I think they, you know, obviously it stings to have this happen. You look at just a couple months ago, they had a 12-game winning streak. They were 25-13, and they were one game behind Boston for first in the East. And now they don't have Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, and they're probably going to fall to fifth or sixth. So, now what happened?
Lots of things. The most important being the Lakers and Pistons are involved in discussions on a trade that would send Bojan to the Lakers. Kevin Knox is included in the Wiseman deal. He will be going to the Warriors. And Knox, according to Woj, may be moved onto a new team, which would be unsurprising. Good to see Meany in here. What up, Chris? Would love to hear. I mean, I know he's been giving his takes on Mean Streets about his favorite team's new acquisition, who debuted last night.
They looked good yesterday.
Yeah, they look. I mean, they look saucy, especially coming out of the gates. Reggie Bullock could not miss. We'll see. Got to give a little bit longer sample size, I think, on Kyrie. No matter where he
listen. Okay, ends up. We have to talk about the Lakers because if they get Bojan, like I loved the Russell deal because Malik Beasley is one of the best movement 3-point shooters in basketball. Russell is just a way better floor spacer than Russ, obviously. And I mentioned it. In the month of January, he was like he flirted with 50, 40, 90. He's shooting like 44% off catch-and-shoot threes. Mo Bamba will help that too. But like if they get both, they all of a sudden become a terrible three-point shooting team to pretty damn serviceable if they get. Like I'm not saying they're going to win a title, but the transformation of that depth chart after LeBron and AD is pretty much every move I would have made if I were them too, if they can land Bojan. So like, we have to take them much more seriously if they can land Bojan. We have to take them much more seriously now. I still think they're well behind a couple of the top teams in the West, but like, Bojan is a difference making player.
Yeah, I mean, and they still have that first, right? The Lakers.
Yep.
That would obviously be going to the Pistons.
They still have Reeves, who apparently is like coveted, even though there was reports that LA doesn't want to trade him, but they still have Reeves. Man.
Yeah, and guess what? One thing that's really tough to do while we're live, but I'm attempting it anyways, is updating the tiers live.
Nice. By the way, have fun on stream tonight, buddy.
Yeah. I made the case a couple weeks ago when I moved the Lakers from the dumb idiot tier to the dark horse tier that this could happen at the deadline, and that's why they were dark horses, because you put a couple more pieces around a potentially healthy LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
And now they are very much in the contenders category.
A theoretical rotation for them is Russell, Beasley, Lonnie Walker, LeBron, AD. Then you have off the bench Mo Bamba. Don't leave out Vandy, counting if they get Bojan.
Vandy's probably starting at the four.
Yeah, right. Vandy, and then you still have Reeves. You have. Well, I guess I should factor in if they get Bojan as well, but that is like drastically different from where we were at a couple days ago.
Thomas Bryan apparently had requested a trade after Anthony Davis returned. Yeah, his minutes diminished.
Yeah, I saw that. It's not on the level of a Korkmaz trade request, but yeah.
All right, I've waited too long, Adam. The Spurs traded Josh Richardson to the Pelicans for 4 second-round picks and Devontae Graham. I can't wait to see whoever does the math on how many second-rounders have been dealt in the last 14 hours or so. It's got to be a record. It's got to be a record. I'll take that for Josh Richardson. Depending, I guess, on where those second-round picks are. Joel Embiid listed questionable for Friday. Shocker. I like that Mo Bamba deal, too. I just think Mo Bamba can do things. Like, he can step out and shoot the three. Like, he is the poorest man's Anthony Davis, right? He's long and lanky. He does some good things on both ends. Certainly not consistent, but like to have him there just for spot minutes for the Lakers, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, like again, you just want when you're like the problem with this team for the entire season was LeBron and AD were two of their better 3-point shooters. Like that can't be your makeup of your roster, especially when you have LeBron on your roster. So.
I mean, if they get Bojan here, they are. I'm not gonna say favorites. I'm still probably picking the Suns, but like,
I would probably honestly put them if they get Bojan after the moves they've already made with LeBron playing at this level at age 38. To me, it's still gonna come down to Davis as the X factor because there's games where like He's completely uninterested in those games where he goes for 36, 16, 4, 5, and 4 blocks. Mm-hmm. But man, like, I'd have a hard time putting them any lower than 4th.
Yeah, no way. I mean, dude, D'Lo, Bojan, Bron, Vandy, and Anthony Davis is juicy.
Yeah. And then you still have shooting and defense off the bench. Yeah. Lonnie's played really well this year.
Yeah. Well, and the potential load that you can take off of LeBron, because he's been doing so much and obviously doing it at a level that is just unheard of for his age. And we've talked plenty about LeBron this week, of course, but like him being able to legitimately take some games off when they face, I mean, because anytime you see a Houston, a San Antonio, Utah at this point, Charlotte, Orlando, any of those teams that are just trying to lose, you can get, you know, D'Lo and Bojan and guys like that can help carry the load instead of, you know, putting
everything on the just look at Cleveland back. Yesterday. Like, they were playing Detroit at home. They were like, we're fine. Garland and Mitchell can sit. And they handled business pretty easily. And, like, yeah, that's huge for them because he's obviously just completely legendary, but you have to think at some point this is all going to take a toll on LeBron. Like, he had the foot injury or whatever it was at the end of that game where he broke the record. So I do still think it comes down to Davis as the X factor, because when LeBron joined the Lakers, he even said, like, we're playing through Anthony Davis. But they are just going to be so much – they're going to be able to, you know, spread defenses out way more now, even without the potential of adding Bojan. I would probably, if they get Bojan, I think you can say after Denver, Phoenix, Memphis, you can make the case of the next best team in the Western Conference. You know, I know a lot of people will put Dallas there. I wouldn't. I'm not really moved by yesterday, but
yeah, me either.
Yeah, these are the, and it's not surprising the players that they've added. I'm sure LeBron has had a massive say in it. But the other thing too is the moves they're making. Like the D'Lo trade. Mm-hmm. Love it for this year. D'Lo's played great. He's hot or cold. But say D'Lo starts to really struggle down the stretch and things don't work out. Okay, he's on an expiring. You can go after Kyrie. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of flexibility for them still. And I like the moves they made. So
yeah, and I mean, you know, that they have said they have an intention of signing Rui to an extension. But he's also
I didn't even mention Rui in the rotation. Who, like, the Rui move was cool when it happened.
Yeah.
But it's a lot better when he's, like, not expected to play the role he was originally expected to. So
yeah, and that move now in the distant past, to be sure. Let's talk about one of the other trades here, and, you know, let's get this out of the way. You know, get my Homer hat on here again. Last night, right before, I mean, this was big NBA news for about 90 seconds, that the Spurs had moved Jakob Poeltl back north of the border to the Raptors. Again, another guy going back home, so to speak. Spurs getting back Kim Birch, a protected 2024 first-round pick, which is protected top six for 24, 25, and 26. So in all likelihood, at some point, that Raptors pick will fall outside the top six and will convey to San Antonio. They also get, shocker, more second-round picks, those in 23 and 25. I'll take the lead on this one, Adam. Shocker. I think it's about as good as any Spurs fan could have hoped for in return for Jakob Poeltl. His services are really not, in my opinion, like, highly valued for a team that's contending for a title this year. So I really didn't think they were going to get anywhere near the asking price of two firsts from a team like Boston or a team like Golden State. Toronto did, like, while it didn't come out of left field, we had been hearing that the two teams were in talks for Poeltl. It is a little bit of a mixed signal, I think, from Masai, because everything we've heard over the last, I don't know, 10 days is, you know, they're exploring moves for OG. Fred has been on the trade block. Like, and Pascal Siakam has not been excluded from trade conversations, although I think he's probably the least likely to get dealt out of their, you know, I guess their top assets, probably just behind Scottie Barnes, right? But adding Jakob Poeltl is just, it was a little bit head scratching to me, because to me, that's a move you make. You you grab Jakob Poeltl if you're trying to contend, not if you're trying to tank. And I don't know, what do you make of that move by Masai and the Raptors?
So I'm kind of torn because while I agree it feels like a move you make if you're not trying to blow it up per se, you've also been starting Pascal Siakam at the five for pretty much most of the season. Mm-hmm. So you can still trade OG if that's what you want to do while the value is, because his value is probably even higher after the Durant trade. Mm-hmm. Like, it was already, what, three firsts essentially. Now it's probably even higher. And, like, you can just shuffle the lineup down. So where you have Fred at the one, Trent at the two, Scottie at the three, Siakam at the four, and Poeltl at the five, and still feel pretty good about that starting five, and then get the assets you can potentially get for OG. So I think it, I don't think it really, I think it's possible it means that they're still trying to go for it, but I also don't think it definitely means that they're just saying, you know what, let's go get Jakob Poeltl, let's keep OG and see what happens. Because I still absolutely think OG is, I don't think OG is less likely to get traded as he was before this move. That's I guess my way of putting it.
And I think OG is probably the last expected player, right, that still hasn't been moved, I guess, outside of Bojan.
Cam Reddish.
Cam Reddish got moved, right? Cam Reddish went from...
Oh, yeah, duh, I forgot he was part of that trade. I already forgot about that trade.
He went from New York to where again? Oh, Portland, right? He went back to Portland for Josh Hart.
Josh Hart, and Josh Hart went to New York.
And a first.
I literally forgot about that trade because of everything that's happened.
Yeah. Did you see the video?
That was the last trade, I think, before the Durant trade yesterday, so...
Before the Poeltl trade, and then the Durant trade. It's, sure. It is tough to keep everything in order on this deadline day. Did you see the video of Jalen Brunson, who was getting his number retired at Villanova last night? Did you see the video?
It was
of him?
Great.
That was
he
so,
was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that was so
oh,
cool.
Oh, shit.
He was hyped. And I think Josh Hart had tweeted earlier in the night, too, congratulating Brunson. Again, those guys were Villanova teammates. So he had tweeted, like, it was an honor being a teammate with you. And then, boom, 3 hours later. Teammates again.
Archie Diakono is part of that trade too, which is kind of crazy.
Really? Did he go? So he went to Portland then.
Yeah,
I didn't see that. I mean, that's the type.
I'm pretty
of
sure
things,
he was.
Like, these deadline deals where the core is first reported, and then sometimes you miss the secondary and sometimes
here it is.
Tertiary. Oh,
finally, we're getting Mark Williams minutes. Mason Plumlee traded to the Clippers.
There you go. I love that move for the Clippers. Like.
Yeah, I mean, how long have we been talking about they literally, like, if Zubac literally said he was getting fatigued from playing the minutes he's been playing. They don't have a backup center. So now you don't have to play Covington at the five
T-Panthers
backup
rejoice.
Situations. Yeah, Mark Williams is about to smash the rest of the season, by the way.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably also see some Kai Jones.
Reggie Jackson to Charlotte in the deal.
that'll be a wave, I think. Pretty
so
quickly.
The Clippers just completely... reshuffled their backcourt.
Yeah.
Which was expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't hate that at all. And again, I do think they want to keep Terrence Mann, not just the starting point guard for this iteration of the Clippers, but I think he is in their plans long term, as long as they have those two stud wings, because they don't need a ball dominant point guard when Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are on the floor. And the defensive versatility that Terrence Mann provides, that lineup, yeah. I think is really highly valued there.
They will probably go a little bit more under the radar because Dallas brought in Kyrie, Phoenix brought in Durant, the Lakers have been making a bunch of moves. We'll see where OG potentially goes. But in the last 30 to 40 minutes, the Clippers have added Eric Gordon, Bones Highland, and Mason Plumlee. That is pretty good.
Now I'm starting to look at tonight's DFS slate. So we have Denver, who they only really sent out Devon Reed, right? So nothing of consequence there. Mo Bamba wasn't in the rotation for Orlando, so nothing really crazy there. Obviously, Phoenix, who are going to have a lot to talk about with the Suns on tonight's
trade. And that changed even more when Saric was traded.
Uh-huh, absolutely. You know, the Holiday and Kaminsky doesn't do much for Atlanta. We're gonna have to at least consider a $7,800 Cam Thomas tonight, even with Finney Smith and Dinwiddie active. Just three straight 40 point games. I said it to you on last night's DFS stream. How is this guy not getting minutes? I don't care if Kyrie and Durant were on the team. Like, that guy should have a role no matter where he is. Like, it's pretty darn clear. Let's talk about some of the other pieces of that trade that went down, sending D'Angelo Russell, Beasley, and Vanderbilt to the Lakers. We didn't talk about the Jazz or the Timberwolves side of things here. The Jazz did pick up that Lakers first rounder and Russell Westbrook, who is reportedly going to be bought out by the Jazz, unsurprisingly there. But then I was a little surprised that the Wolves gave up D'Lo for Conley in a second. Like, there's just a talent gap there, in my opinion, at this point.
Well, they also didn't get the memo that it's apparently get 3 to 5 second-round draft picks day.
Right, so just 1 second round.
They must have missed the memo. It was last night, so.
I mean, I think it's never a bad thing to add a guy like Mike Conley to your franchise, especially when you've got some young guys in the locker room like Ant Edwards.
And when you have Gobert.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, seriously, though, yeah. Like he probably has as good of a rapport with Gobert yeah. as anybody that was...
Certainly better than Donovan Mitchell.
That's in the league right now. Yeah.
Anthony's saying Cam Thomas going for 50 real points tonight. I don't know if he'll get enough shot attempts up with Dinwiddie there, but we'll see. I mean, and what do you think for the Jazz now? Like, obviously, we had some good luck, I think, with the way the news broke there last night when we were able to get our Jalen Noel shares and our Colin Sexton shares. But going forward, I think, you know, your boy, Colin Sexton, right? Probably going to put up some big stats here now that he's stepping into the starting role in Utah. My best ball teams rejoice. I have a lot of Colin Sexton that I was just waiting for this opportunity. What do you think about
you? I mean, look at yesterday.
What's that?
What, he's like 21-5? What was he, like 21-5-5 yesterday?
Yep.
He's always been a high usage player. It's going to take a lot of shots. Yep. So, and it's not just Conley, too. Like, Malik Beasley was starting for them. Mm-hmm. He's gone. Vanderbilt, obviously. So, mm-hmm. yeah. And then Russell Westbrook's about to go to LA as well, right?
I guess that makes sense.
They were interested.
Apparently they were interested. Bulls they were still interested have another for whatever fucking reason.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That would be, I mean, just another dumb move in a series of what I think have not been great moves for the Bulls over the last few years. Especially re-signing Zach LaVine. I guess that's another name that could be on the move here in the next 15 minutes and change before the deadline. You know, apparently there was talks between Brooklyn and Chicago regarding Zach LaVine. No word, I think, if those have stalled or not, but we'll have to see. I mean, what else are we missing here? Let me scroll down, because I know we haven't talked about every trade that has gone down today. We did see Bryn Forbes get waived by the Timberwolves, so the Spurs fan in me sheds a little tear for Bryn. Maybe he comes back home for a third stint.
What about the Josh Hart deal?
I mean, I like it for the Knicks. I don't think it moves the needle for me from, like, okay, the Knicks are, like, a 6 or a 7 seed to, like, okay, maybe they're a 5 or a 6 seed now. Like, it's certainly not going to move them into the dark horse tier. But I'm a big fan of what Josh Hart can do. He's one of the better rebounding wings in the league. And, you know, if he can, like you said the other day, if he can kind of loosen the trigger a little bit from deep and start firing some more of those threes and converting, if he converts them at an average rate, you know, 35-36%, I think he can really contribute there in New York. And I thought it was good business there by Portland getting back a first. And Cam Reddish, who I think, again, like, as long as they play him, like, I think both you and I agree that Cam Reddish is better than how his two previous teams have treated him minutes-wise.
Yeah, sorry, I was reading.
Yeah, plenty to read today, that's for sure.
Yeah, I wanted the Cavs to look at Cam Reddish. They were interested. They were interested in Josh Hart as well. But, yeah, like, I think Portland, it's just, they're still so weird because, like, they just continue to do, they continue to make moves, but they're not moves that are just, that are going to help Dame, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's just like, and I think Chris Haynes reported that teams were calling about Dame today and the Portland was like, yeah, we're good, which you'd expect. But yeah, like, I like Josh Hart. I think he's, you know, we've talked about Josh Hart a lot. Elite rebounder for his position. He's shooting like half in terms of 3-point attempts per game that he was last year. So, yeah, you would like to see him shoot the ball a little bit more, but pretty clear he's got a rapport with Jalen Brunson. Thought it was a good move, and I just saw the update. So, surprise, John Collins will not be traded.
Yeah, I mean, again.
What else is new?
The one spot I thought he could really go was Phoenix, and that was obviously dead after the Durant.
The Pelicans, like I said, they had interest too for a little bit. So just set your alarm for a couple months from now. John Collins on the trade block, and we'll do this all over again.
Right around July 1st, I think we'll start hearing some real hot and heavy John Collins rumors again. For you know, as is tradition.
At this point, if Atlanta keeps like disappointing like this, Trae Young might get traded before John Collins.
Yeah. Well, no, I was trying to trade both of those guys. I was trying to trade DeJounte with John Collins. But Anthony pointing out that we missed the Matisse Thybulle deal. So another wing going to the Blazers there and the Sixers.
I like that for Philly, by the way. Because McDaniels isn't Matisse Thybulle level of a perimeter defender, but he's really good. Yeah. And he gives you way more ability to actually shoot, which Matisse Thybulle just doesn't do. Yeah. So, yeah.
And then the Hornets got back Svi Mykhailiuk, who I think was also dealt last night in one of those deals.
Yeah,
and surprise, Hornets also get multiple second-round picks back in that deal. We also didn't talk about the Celtics and Thunder. Thunder dealt Mike Muscala to the Celtics. In return, got Justin Jackson in 2 seconds. Justin Jackson expected to be waived by the Thunder. Anthony pointing out that the Sixers also, and Daryl Morey getting Philadelphia under the luxury tax with that move. So Morey working his magic again. You would imagine that Jalen McDaniels can play a bigger role in this Philly rotation compared to what Matisse Thybulle was seeing of late. I'm looking at this Nets depth chart still. I know we touched on this a little bit earlier, Adam, but I don't think this team
all the 3 and D wings.
I don't think this team is like necessarily bad right now. Like Simmons didn't.
So I said they have a shitload of really good players.
Yeah, yeah. And you know they've got Mykal Bridges and Dorian Finney-Smith both locked up, I believe, for 3 years after this.
Bridges I thought was like through 2027 or something. Like
yeah, I think he's got 4 years left, including this one. And like only at like $20-21 million per year. Dorian Finney-Smith is on a very modest like 12.5, I think, per year. You know, spending about 10% of your cap on a guy like Dorian Finney-Smith, it seems like good business to me. I mean, and then you've still got, you know, Claxton, of course, in the middle. Seth Curry is still there. Cam Thomas, who apparently, you know, is going to break the scoring record by next season. Joe Harris is still there. And, like, I'm not surprised if we see one or two of those pieces moved here in the next 10 minutes.
How about this trade? The Blazers are trading Gary Payton II to the Warriors. Oh. Can you guess what they got back? Can you guess what they got back?
Eight,
go ahead and
eight
guess.
Seconds.
5 second round
five?
Picks. Yeah. So Gary Payton back with the Warriors.
This is ridiculous. Strange is chiming in saying that the Nets are going to be in some rock fights. 89-87 every night is constructed, and Cam Thomas goes for 40 with Dinwiddie chipping in for 20. Blazers get... I mean, I love the get for the Warriors, so that I assume that's the 5 seconds from the Hawks going to the Warriors, then going to the Blazers for Gary Payton.
Kevin Knox also going to the Blazers.
Man. Blazers. Cleaning up. Cleaning up. Routing Kevin Knox. This is just the absolute definition of the Pepe Sylvia gif from Always Sunny. Trying to keep this trade deadline together. Yeah, Chase says, you get a second round pick. You get a second round pick. Everybody gets a second round pick. And yeah, I'm really going to be interested to see the total number of second round picks that were transacted today. And then also the total number of players that are returning to a team they have previously played for. Gary Payton being added to that lengthy list. How are you feeling, Adam? Let's get the pulse of the Cavs fan here. Obvious,
There's nothing they can do. Like, there's nothing. There's nobody left.
I mean,
like, they should. There was a report this morning that they were very interested in Royce O'Neal, Joe Harris, Seth Curry from Brooklyn because they have a ton of wings now. But then there was also a report that they were not looking to trade LeVert or Kevin Love. So it's like you're left with like Chetty, Lamar Stevens, second round picks, which they have second round picks. Yeah. At this point, though, I mean, 8 minutes left, obviously. Doesn't look like they're going to make a move. And I think, honestly, like the emergence of Isaac Okoro probably has a lot to do with that. So, look, man, they can. I'm good on Cork Miles, Anthony.
Stefano says he likes my Austin FC flag. He'll offer me 5 second round picks for it. And then he says to you in the Discord channel, 5 second round picks and you can get Royce O'Neal on the Cavs. I think you guys would take that, right?
Apparently that's the market now, so.
I'm shocked that they don't dump Kevin Love because it's been like, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just tough to make the salaries match because San Antonio is one of the only teams I think that has the cap space to do something like that.
Right.
And they obviously don't have, especially with Richardson now jettisoned to New Orleans, they don't have a ton of contracts that they are willing to trade to come back in a deal like that. But the fact that they're...
How many second round picks, by the way, is it going to be when the OG trade gets announced?
I don't know.
30?
Yeah, I have no idea. But it's going to be really interesting because the deadline coming up here, under 7 minutes now until the horn. And of course, we frequently get some deals reported or extra details that come out after the horn here is we're under 6 minutes until the deadline. But yeah, no OG moved yet. No Cavs moves yet. Obviously, John Collins going to stay home. As reported by Chris Haynes. So did the whole league blow their load too early here, Adam? Are we going to have no trades for the last 15 minutes?
I'm going to say no, but...
I guess Anthony pointing out you could get Furkan Korkmaz. He did demand a trade.
It's good for him.
Yeah, you don't need two. I mean, the Turkish sharpshooter role already filled on the Cavs roster, by Chetty, of course.
There's like, I'm trying to think, like, almost everybody outside of OG that we expected to get traded has been traded. But like, Boyan was like, the Pistons should trade him because he doesn't fit their timeline. His value is at its highest, but other than that, it feels like everybody that we expected to be traded has already been moved. So then obviously the Durant deal. So I'm trying to think of some moves that could be next, if there are going to be any.
The clock is ticking down fast, man. We're under 5 minutes here. It would be surprising. I mean, I think, right, it's we're looking for OG to the Warriors here. The Warriors have been active but haven't been able to really pull off anything that I consider like a significant move at this point. I mean, looking back to tonight's slate, no real moves of note from Chicago there. Milwaukee, obviously. Their moves more on the fringe of their rotation. And the Lakers, obviously, no Westbrook. Now no Pat Bev. So the Lakers have certainly picked up some steam here in terms of our DFS interest on tonight's slate. So let me open this up here. Let's see if I could share some of the goodness here that's going down in the FTN NBA Discord channel from our own Stefano Vaccarino here saying pretty much the sum of today's trade deadline. I receive anything, you receive 5 second round picks. I like it. Let's see.
I wonder if Minnesota was just not even thinking about moving Naz Reid because he was somebody that a lot of teams were definitely looking at. trying to think of some of the trades that I the Miles Turner Buddy Hield thing kind of fell off weeks ago, so I wasn't expecting, especially after Miles Turner's extension. Yeah, man, like if we see a deal happen after the Horn, I think it's Brooklyn with some of the wings. I think it's like a Joe Harris, a Seth Curry, Royce O'Neal type of move. Other than that, and again, like the one player that like I started to get to a point the last week where I was like, I think it's almost a lock that OG gets traded. And now we're 3 minutes until the deadline and there's been nothing. There's been obvious interest, Memphis, you know, the Pelicans, Golden State, but because like this is why I always struggle with the Raptors, because they're just playing really badly, but they have so much talent. Like they're just they have a lot of good players, so it was weird, but yeah.
So we did just get a report that Christian Wood will be staying put in Dallas through the deadline. Hat tip to Mark Stein there. Not unsurprising there, but you know, an expiring contract that they could have certainly moved, but Christian Wood, at least on the offensive end, going to be essential for that Mavs team down the stretch here. Under 2 minutes now, under a minute and a half until the deadline. So again, we may get some deals here coming in under the wire, but while we wait for those, and we can kind of jump in and out of this, I guess, depending on the news that breaks, I'll invite you, Adam, to do this here with me. Let's talk about the tiers, okay? Let's do this live, all right? I've moved some things around, and of course, how this goes. We've got our five tiers here. We've got favorites up top, then contenders, then dark horses. Dark horses, of course, the teams that we would not be shocked if future us came back from the end of June and said, hey, this team won the title. And you see the Kings up there. The Kings were put up there on Monday, actually, right? Pending them making a deal that would, I guess, like make them legit dark horses. Kessler Edwards not doing it for me, Adam. So the first move I want to make here that hasn't been, obviously, you see the Suns up in the favorites tier. Now the Lakers in the middle of the contenders there. I think the first thing I'm going to do is move the Kings back down to dumb idiots, because they needed another move, in my opinion, to really keep, kind of that pseudo dark horse tag that I gave them back on Monday. How do you feel about that? I assume you agree with me now that it was a relatively quiet deadline for them.
Yeah, I just really, like, the things they could have added were defense. Like, I thought they were probably going to look at Jared Vanderbilt. I would imagine they probably did. But, yeah, I mean, like, especially with the moves in the West, like, I can't even consider them, like, a dark horse candidate to win anymore, despite how good they've been offensively, just because, like
it's the Kings.
When Phoenix adds Kevin Durant, it just changes everything. And, like, the Clippers moves, I think cannot be, overlooked. So, I'm cool with that.
Let's jump back to the top here and let's talk about the favorites tier. Yeah.
And by the way, real quick, with the Kings, like, given this franchise, the drought and everything, they get in the playoffs, it's a win for them.
100%. Anyway. And I mean, I think, like, I guess, yeah, missing the playoffs at this point, you would probably consider that a disappointment. But, I mean, they're still, I think, the 3 seed, right? Let me pull up the standings just to make sure here. Yeah, I mean, 2 games above Dallas.
They're the third seed, the Suns, yeah.
And the Clippers, a 2-game buffer there.
They're not far behind Memphis. Memphis has dropped what, 7 of 8? Or no, they won the other day.
But so I mean, the anywhere in the top six, not having to be in the play-in, would be a hugely successful season, I think, for Sacramento. But yeah, let's jump up to the favorites here. I've got those four teams. Phoenix, obviously, the newest addition. How do you feel about that order that I've got right now? Boston, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Denver. As we are past the deadline now, officially.
So, I would probably slightly agree with Boston over Phoenix. I have Denver over Milwaukee still, but I get it. Like, it's for me, we talk about it. It comes down to Chris Middleton. Yeah. If he's healthy, they can be where Boston is in terms of your tiers. So, but I think those four teams are, especially after this deadline, unequivocally the four favorites in the NBA.
Well, how about contenders here? I think there's a little bit more conversation to be had. Obviously, we talked about on the podcast on Monday that the danger that the Warriors are in without Steph Curry, how bad they've been without him so far this season, and their place in the standings. Like, they are, there should be legit worries, I think, among the Warriors fans that if they are not able to tread water without Steph over the next month plus, and again, my worry is that we have the baseline, right? Minimum of 4 weeks for Steph to miss here. They have not thrown a maximum time for him to miss out there yet. So I just really have my concerns about the Warriors. But if they get into the playoffs and they have all those guys healthy, I cannot take them any further than the last place team there in the contenders tier. So that's why I've got them there now. But with the moves we've seen, obviously, Danny Green out, Luke Kennard in for Memphis, Matisse Thybulle out, Jalen McDaniels in for the Sixers, and the bevy of changes we have between the two LA teams. How would you order those four, assuming you agree with me that the Warriors should be last in that tier? And I guess maybe you could maybe add some dark horses. I know you might be eyeing your Cavs there.
I'm sorry. Like I think Cleveland belongs in this tier. I really do. They're 35-22.
Are you putting them here or where are we going?
I would put them.
I would say here.
I think they're better than the Lakers.
Better than even with the moves they just made.
Okay. Yes.
But so well, better than all three of those teams.
No, I would go after the moves. I would go Philly, Memphis, the Clippers, Cleveland, Lakers, Golden State.
Okay. I think I can.
Steph's injury, you have to put them last year. Yeah. You just have to.
I think I can live with that. Because again, if I think with health is key for all six of the teams in this tier, right? And I guess starting with the Cavs, who we just moved up, if they lose any of those top four guys, I think you have to drop them down.
Yeah, they're
right?
done. Yeah.
And I don't think I can put them into the dumb idiot tier this year just because they're clearly not dumb idiots. Colby Altman has been great over the last few years. But obviously, health for the Clippers, for the Sixers, these teams that have, you know, two or three guys on the roster that if they're not available, the team they're no longer contenders. I think I would be pretty okay with any order of those top three there, Sixers, Memphis, and Clippers.
Yeah, like given Memphis's struggles recently, they've been missing Steven Adams. Kennard will help the three-point shooting woes they had, but their half-court offense is still a concern. I have Philly over them. That's why I put that there. Cleveland's literally like top 10 in every category. They're first in defensive rating. They're top three in net rating. Their offense is top 10. They have, the best rim protection arguably in the league behind maybe Milwaukee and Memphis. The shooting is still I would have liked them to add a little bit more shooting because as great as he's been, Isaac Okoro is going to slow down eventually, but just the fact that he's playing with this confidence and forcing teams to actually have to defend him now, it changes the entire offense because there's more room for Garland and Mitchell to operate. I went on record on this pod saying I think Cleveland's ceiling is a second round exit. I think if things break right for them, and of course things have to break right for any team, but I think if things break right for them, they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there.
The only concern I have really is they're just so young.
Yeah.
Right? Like Jared Allen and LeVert are the only players that have really played, and Mitchell now, but like Jared Allen's barely played in meaningful playoff games. Mitchell's obviously been a pretty good playoff performer when he's been in there. But other than that, like especially with Kevin Love not really in the rotation, they don't have much playoff experience. Like Okoro, Garland, Mobley, like these guys have not played playoff games. But they've also played in playoff like atmospheres, like the play-in game.
Don't discount
a couple of those games early in the season against Boston. Yeah, a couple of those games early in the season against Boston. I know it was very early, but like they had playoff atmospheres. So I think again, nobody would like you and I, Zach, would both admit we are massive homers.
100%.
But I think Cleveland belongs in this tier. I really do. And I will say, if you tell me Zion and Brandon Ingram are not missing a game the rest of the season, they are very much in the contenders tier. But that team, it's been every week they've been missing multiple players from their rotation.
Yeah. And so, if Josh Richardson stays healthy, you know, watch out. It's tough because the dumb idiot tier obviously has grown over the past week.
Can we put one team in this tier by themselves after today? The Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, fair.
You didn't blow it up, but you didn't do anything either. Like, they did nothing. They did nothing.
Unless we get something.
I don't know how you can do nothing
at the end here.
I that was one team that I expected to do something. Sorry, I was reading Woj tweeted something about the Raptors, about how they were not sellers at the deadline.
To make some harder decisions in the offseason. I mean, we can take that as confirmation that we will not be getting any OG and an OB deal here at the buzzer. Also, Mark Stein saying that Minnesota not expected to pursue a reunion with Patrick Beverley if he indeed does hit the buyout market following the trade to Orlando. And you would have to think they're going to buy him out pretty quickly, just because, like, adding another guard to that backcourt is not something that they're actually interested in.
Yeah.
Like, I want, what I want to do, like, they're obviously not close enough at all to get to the top of the draft board here this summer, but, like, what they've done, like, it's almost like a pro, like, I can't call Sean Marks a dumb idiot right now, because I just feel like, given the situation he was put in with Kyrie's trade demand, and then, you know, whether
they can get a star.
Let's see.
You know what I mean? Like, they can, they have the assets to get a star next year.
Absolutely. And obviously they weren't able to also move Ben Simmons' contract off the books, as it was reported.
He's no trade value, according to the league.
Based on how many second round picks were thrown around today, I would have thrown him a couple second round picks if I was San Antonio, but obviously it was not to be. I think, like, some of these teams in the dumb idiot tier, like, Kings are there because they're no longer, like, we have no longer have a case to make for them to be a potential dark horse. But obviously they are on the upswing compared to, I mean, if you're just comparing this year to their last 20 years.
Can we move Utah out of this tier?
I mean, I guess, but, like, they're still...
Do you think we should, or because...
They're still dumb idiots because they're out of the top four race, which, like, they played so well to start the season that it just took them out right away, but...
Ooh, got some news from Chris Fedor, who covers the Cavs. Colby Altman says he does not anticipate having any buyout discussions with Kevin Love, which I kind of... I didn't expect him to get bought out, so...
It would be an expensive buyout, for sure. Woj saying the Warriors will save roughly $7 million. In luxury tax this year on today's trades.
Well, how much did they save from the Wiseman trade?
Well, they said it could be a potentially up to $130 million, but they're guaranteed to save $30 million on next season's luxury tax. So, you know, ultimately, they sent out Wiseman, got back Gary Payton, but saving Joe Lacob there a bunch of money in luxury tax. Let's see, Kroger's in here chiming in, you know, our resident Canadian. Says, I'm sort of surprised that the Raptors did nothing today. Steph chiming in saying, should have got something for Gary Trent. I mean, I guess that is one thing, right, that we, you know, the way we tried to manifest the busy deadline by saying it'll probably be quiet and we won't get a bunch of crazy moves. On the other side of that coin, it's like the Raptors were the team we expected to make maybe the biggest splash in the trade deadline, and all they did was acquire Jakob Poeltl. Trade deadline season is also, just like free agency, it's smokescreen season. And who knows if Masai ever really had serious talks with anybody about OG. Certainly other teams were inquiring, but whether or not he was actually serious about it ever, who knows?
I'm still pretty surprised that, like, one of those players wasn't traded. Maybe not Siakam, but Van Vliet, Trent, OG. Definitely thought one of them was Precious getting traded. What about Precious
Achiuwa, right? Like, what's he going to do now? Just be the backup there? They've also got Christian Coloco. Like, Precious Achiuwa is probably not long for that roster.
Another thing, too, like, the Pirtle addition was nice for them. They've obviously been looking for a center for a couple years now. They also still can't shoot outside of Gary Trent. They didn't address that. So, like, are they a better team after this trade deadline? Yeah, I would say so. Once OG's back from the injury, but like they're still well behind, you know, not even just like Cleveland, but like Brooklyn, Miami, New York. Like they're still well behind those teams, Atlanta.
We also didn't mention, I guess technically, you've got JTA and Damian Jones also on the Jazz now. And another part I missed, again, even better for my Colin Sexton best ball shares. Then Nikhil Alexander-Walker also went to the Timberwolves in that three-team deal. It'll be interesting to see how long it takes all of these players to arrive with their new teams, you know, pass the physicals, all the trades, become official with the league. Because, obviously, we do have a relatively small DFS slate tonight with just four games. But then the league right back at it tomorrow with another, I believe, 11 games. Let's see, 12 games tomorrow. And you'd have to imagine that any of the trades that happen today, the vast majority of those players will not be suiting up for their new teams. So always an interesting DFS weekend after the trade deadline. Anthony's saying he's surprised that Furkan Korkmaz is still a Sixer after his trade demand. I'll tell you what, Anthony, I'm not surprised at all. I don't think Daryl Morey
couldn't even get one second round pick.
I don't think Daryl Morey really gave a shit, but we'll see. He's, you know, obviously Furkan not long for the Sixers roster. I'm sure he'll be gone after this contract. Anything else standing out to you that we maybe missed here? Because, man, all those trades came like the first 20 minutes of the stream, and then I don't think we had one within the last 20 minutes leading up to the deadline. Like, after we heard Kevin Knox to the Blazers, you know, in addition to that, Gary Payton, James Wiseman, all of that between those two teams and the Warriors, that was 23 minutes ago. We've had nothing since then.
Let's do winners and losers from the deadline. You
just alternate winners to start? Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you go first.
I've said it already. The Brooklyn Nets, obviously not winners in the grand scheme of contending for a title this year, but the speed with which that team like had to blow it up, I think Sean Marks got back just about as big of a return as you could possibly ask for, and doing all that business with Phoenix and their unprotected first round picks. We talked about how just the age of guys like Chris Paul and Kevin Durant and the fact that teams like that don't typically stay together longer than three seasons or so. I imagine the 27 and 29 unprotected first that they got back could be extremely valuable in a few years. And then, of course, we talked about Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, also pretty good pickups there. And that, not even talking about, you know, also getting Spencer Dinwiddie back and Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, to me, the number one winner is the Nets, even though the Suns are the closest 1B you could possibly have. And I think I would retroactively edit my winners here to have them the top winner if they do end up with a ring in Phoenix. But obviously, that's still pending.
Yeah, I'm going to go, again, the Clippers. We talked about it for like 2 weeks now. They were the team I was most interested in leading up to the deadline. We knew they were going to be in the market for, backcourt help and frontcourt help at the center position. And they addressed it. You know, Bones Highland, really talented scorer. I think Russell Westbrook has to be the favorite for the Clippers at this point because, Reggie Jackson and John Wall aren't on their roster anymore. So you still have a guard spot available. Then you add Eric Gordon, who maybe you don't have to add Russ because Gordon can handle the ball. And they've been playing Terrence Mann at the one. And Gordon's still a really capable defender, can shoot, can score. And then Plumlee. Like, Plumlee can give some rest to Zubac, can facilitate with Kawhi and Paul George around him and everything. So I thought the moves they made were fantastic. And, like, you still don't feel great about them in the games that they will inevitably have this season where Kawhi, in the second half, where Kawhi and or Paul George are out. But you probably feel a little bit better about it with Gordon there, Bones there, and if they add Russ, that they can win some of those games where Kawhi's out and or Paul George are out. So I like the move the Clippers made.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I think I would have the Lakers above them. Obviously, both LA teams making some significant changes to their rosters. But I think just a little bit more of an impact for me in the positive direction for the Lakers. Apparently, they didn't get the potential Bojan Bogdanović deal done, which, like, would have, in my opinion, vaulted them into the conversation for that top spot. I don't think I still could have given it to them over Phoenix or Brooklyn, but even with what they did get done, I think the Lakers' hopes certainly improved greatly, you know, headed here into the back third of the regular season. And obviously, we moved them very quickly from dark horses to contenders here on the tiers.
Yeah, other winners, it's tough because, like, a lot of the moves were made by teams that we really, like, a lot of the moves were good, but, like, how much do they actually move the needle? Like, I like the Sadiq Bey move for Atlanta. Does it really move the needle for me? I don't know. Memphis, like, I liked getting Luke Kennard because they're, like, they're bottom five in three-point percentage off catch-and-shoot opportunities. Like, they have been a really disappointing three-point shooting team, so that helps. But they were obviously, like, it's tough to be a winning team after the deadline in the West after what Phoenix did. Because, like, now you have to defend Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and DeAndre Ayton. Cleveland was a loser and a winner for me. They were a loser because they didn't do anything. They were a winner because Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving don't play in the Eastern Conference anymore. So, and you can make that same case for, like, you know, Philly and Miami. Miami didn't do anything either, but all of a sudden they have a path to the fourth or fifth seed. They've been playing better as of late anyway. Any other winners? I'm trying to think. Like, I didn't really care for what Portland did. I don't think that's going to do much for them.
I'll give the Nuggets a passing grade, I guess. Maybe not a winner per se, but being able to replace the DeAndre Jordan, Zeke Nnaji spot with Thomas Bryant, I think is an upgrade. And they I think it was 1 second round pick, which is literally pennies on this at this deadline, and Devon Reed, who's not a member of their planned playoff rotation for sure. So I like what Denver did there. It was obviously a minor move, but I think it helped them nonetheless. How about losers? I'll let you go first. Chicago. Number one for you.
Just, you don't know where you're at. They have no clue where they're at with their franchise. That's what this tells me, because there was rumors all leading up to it about, oh, are they going to blow it up? Are they going to trade Levine? Are they going to trade Vucevic, who's a free agent next season? Are they going to trade Alex Caruso? Their team obviously hasn't been the same without Lonzo. And you just do nothing. Like, you don't go one way or the other. So for me, like, the Bulls, I just made zero sense to me that they did nothing. Just thought they would be, I thought they'd do something. Whatever approach and direction you're going with your franchise, you know, they're just stuck to me. And, like, we know they aren't good enough before the deadline. They've done nothing to either give them a chance with with these three players or to kind of rebuild the organization. So, for me, they might have been the top loser. I expected something from them.
I'm going to say the Wizards. Because we didn't see them do much, and I would have liked to see them find a new home for a Kuzma, or even like if they could have pulled off a mega deal, sending Bradley Beal somewhere, get him to waive that no trade clause.
Trade him to Portland.
Him somewhere, just because I think we already know that Bradley Beal, like, is not going to be your number one on a contending team, and I don't think he's even good enough to be a number two on a contending team.
Probably like a low end two.
I think a very high end three is, like, kind of the best thing for him. And, like, potentially you could have sent him to the Lakers for Russell Westbrook and the two first round picks, something like that. But even then, like, it's just,
then we would have had another player play for his former team. Well, he probably got bought out.
Just the fact that team stood pat, like, I just don't like. I just think they should be proactive somewhere, and like maybe it's silly because I don't have more concrete examples, but thinking that this team with this front office is going to build successfully through the draft, they have shown zero evidence of being able to make even the least competent picks of the, like, the Johnny Davis, Isaiah Todd. Like, this team is horrible from top to bottom, and they are, like, obviously they're not the top of the dumb idiot tier because we order them on, like, the Kings are obviously the closest to not being dumb idiots. The Magic, to me right now, unless they're going for a play-in spot, the worst dumb idiots. But maybe just talking myself into moving the Wizards down to the bottom here just because they're doing absolutely nothing to help themselves.
Yeah, I don't know if they're a loser, but I didn't love the deal for Minnesota. We talked about that a little bit. You know, Sacramento, to an extent, like, you're exceeding expectations. You have one of the best offenses in the league. Like, maybe add to the defense. Not saying there was, like, they weren't obviously in the market for OG, who apparently wasn't even going to be moved. But, like, maybe try to add something to that defense that's really bad. But it's kind of weird to see them finally have this success and just kind of do nothing. I know they got Kessler Edwards, but, again, that doesn't really do much for us. So,
and I think the Mavs, for me, are not losers, but, like, it's a very much a wait and see. Yeah, a wait and see type of situation here. But I still don't, like, I don't think it's dire, because even if it doesn't work with Kyrie there, and again, I'm still on the side of thinking it's not really going to work, you can still just not give Kyrie an extension, let him walk, and use that cap space that you've now created to bring in somebody more suitable next to Luka Doncic. But that's the thing about Luka, man. I don't think anybody has figured out yet who is the right type of other all-star to pair with him, because to win an NBA title these days, you need multiple all-stars, and I just don't think that another ball-dominant guard with Luka is going to be the answer.
Yeah, we'll see. We have to see Luka get back in the lineup and see them together. Other than that, though, like, I guess you can say Memphis is a loser because, again, Durant's now in the West. All those teams, right? Golden State. What do you think of Golden State's deadline? It was very interesting. Like, they essentially traded the number one pick from a couple years ago in James Wiseman for Gary Payton.
I think Joe Lacob is a winner.
Which is wild to think of. Joe Lacob's
bank account is a winner, saving $37 million over the next 2 years in terms of luxury tax fees. I think Portland is kind of just eh. I don't think they were a loser. I don't think they're a winner.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they, like, if you're actually going for it, and there was reports that they're still not going to, like, Josh Hart, we knew, was probably getting traded, but, like, there was reports on other players too. Like, if you were going to go for it with Damian Lillard playing at this level, you had to do more than you did today. Like, I like Cam Reddish, but, you know, Matisse Seibel will help the defense, but I don't know.
I think the Jazz are winners in my book for at least doing the bare minimum and moving off the contracts of Mike Conley and Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt, picking up that extra first rounder to add to the arsenal that Danny Ainge came in and got for Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert this past summer. I may have found a little tracker here for how many picks were. I think this is just a chronological list of all the trades that went down, but I guess I would be really off-brand of me not to put the Homer hat on here one more time, Adam, and say that I think the Spurs, similar to the Jazz, kind of did the bare minimum, like getting rid of Jakob Poeltl on his expiring contract and moving Josh Richardson on his. I think the only move that I would have liked, or the only other thing they could have done to improve what they did get, is somehow move Doug McDermott somewhere else. He does still have another year on his contract, but moving Poeltl and Josh Richardson for I think top six protected for 3 years is pretty lightly protected. So a lightly protected first from the Raptors and 6 second round picks for those two guys. That's not bad. So I'll put them in the winners category there. But again, Homer hat certainly on.
How would you classify Toronto's deadline after what they did? Because I understand, like, the makeup of that roster still has a potential to win some games and get hot in the second half here. But, man, the market for OG and Trent and Fred was pretty high, you would have to think. And Fred's a free agent next season.
I mean, they can you know, still obviously make some moves this summer. I'm not going to put them into the losers category because I do, obviously, I hold Jakob Poeltl in his rim defense in pretty high regard. So adding him for a relatively cheap price tag there, I think it's fine. And again, like, I don't think any of the Raptors fans are complaining that they still have OG Anunoby on their team. And obviously you've still got Scottie and Siakam there. So I don't think they're in either category for me. But if you made me choose one, I'd say they're winners, adding Jakob Poeltl for, again, relatively cheap. And then, you know, our resident Mavs fan here, Meany, saying, "You kidding me? Luka and Kyrie about to light up the West." And I do very much agree. And now, fingers crossed.
Listen, Meany, I love you, man. If Dallas and Phoenix play in the playoffs, Phoenix is winning in six.
Phoenix is winning in six. You heard it here first from Adam Pfeiffer.
Unless Luka just has that entire organization and franchise shook.
He does.
Which is possible.
He does. He absolutely does.
It's just entirely possible. You don't have the wing defenders to guard Durant
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, I also think, like, the Suns are just, and I literally what I was about to say.
They're top heavy.
They're top heavy and they are brittle and fragile. And, like, just how many games in the last two seasons have been missed between Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and Kevin Durant? And, like, DeAndre Ayton's missed his fair share of games as well. And I think we both agreed that the Suns are a team now. And they were already, but now just with these four guys, if any one of those four guys are not available, they certainly, in my opinion, I think they jump down from the favorites tier to the contenders.
The move also, like Meany mentioned, CP3. The Durant move also, like, CP3 was, you know, he's had the injuries this season. He struggled a bit. He's still shooting like 38-39% from three, but. Yeah, like, it also, like, if Chris Paul does have a stretch where he's just not playing well or whatever, like earlier, it's masked a little bit more when you have Durant and Booker who can single-handedly carry an offense. So he won't be asked to do as much, although he's obviously still going to be really good in the pick and roll. I think it'll be, like, that is a series everybody wants to see, though, for obvious reasons. Like, if there was one playoff series, I'll throw in Memphis and who was it? Golden State would be good. Memphis, Golden State,
and the Clippers. Now, again, assuming health for all these teams.
Why do I already forget who were the Pelicans playing when Zion did that dunk at the end of the game and everybody got mad?
Yeah,
that's right, Phoenix. Yeah, that would be a good one too.
Me saying he's just chirping. The Mavs don't have the defense to compete with the Suns if they're fully healthy. I think also though vice versa, like. You got rid of McCall Bridges, and he, even then, at a defensive player of the year type of level last season, did nothing.
He was a finalist.
To slow down Luka Doncic. Yeah, man, I mean, the West just got a whole lot better, I think, or certainly more interesting with KD and Kyrie coming over from the East. And potentially, like, this very short reign that the Eastern Conference has had over the West after really the last 20 years. In general, the West has been more talented top to bottom than the East. Maybe short-lived for the Eastern Conference now with some of these guys coming out West.
As a Cavs fan, I'm not mad about it.
I think that's going to do it for us here on the trade deadline stream. That was fun, Adam. And honestly, I'm glad that it wasn't as fast and furious from the first 20 minutes throughout the entire 90 because I don't know if we... like. Going back to listen to that first 20 minutes, we were all over the place just because that's how the news was breaking, right? So I guess I can get us out of here on this. Looking forward to tonight's DFS slate and stream. 6 p.m. Eastern, Kyle Murray, Mr. Detroit, the Opto Extraordinaire himself, will join me right here at FTN Daily, breaking down the four-game slate. And Cat Guy pointing out in the Discord channel. The Suns have three active players over $3,200 on DraftKings tonight. So value galore. It should be a fun one. And Adam, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
I am going to, this will be available for the podcast listeners as well. But I'm also doing a recap article at FTN Fantasy that'll be up on Friday. So I'll pretty much have to start writing that now because there was a lot of in-depth stuff. I'm excited to kind of dive into that. So that'll be up. But then, yeah, I think it's David and I mm-hmm. tomorrow mm-hmm. on Friday for what 12 games with all of these yeah. players on different teams and the rotations and the lineups will be yeah. completely different. So, that will be fun, but yeah, man, it was fun. We didn't get the OG trade, but I think we can say the OG trade, not having that, but having a Durant trade is a fair yeah. trade-off. A
fair trade-off, indeed. Appreciate everybody tuning in, and I'll see everybody in a few hours here breaking down tonight's four-game slate. For Adam, I'm Zach. We'll see you guys later. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the FTN NBA podcast. Be sure to follow the hosts on Twitter @APPfeiffer24 and KAWissenbergDFS.